After talks between the US and Russia showed no signs of progress on securing a peace deal, the federal government has announced it will provide an additional $95 million in military assistance to Ukraine. The government has also unleashed a fresh round of sanctions on ships believed to be part of Moscow's so-called Shadow Fleet, a network of vessels used to dodge regulatory scrutiny, particularly to transport Russian oil. Vasyl Moroshnichenko is Ukraine's ambassador to Australia and joins me now. Ambassador, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning, Sally.
How significant is this funding announcement for Ukraine's fight against Russia with this additional funding from Australia?
I'm extremely grateful to the government of Australia, personally to Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and the entire Security Committee of the Cabinet for this meaningful and tangible contribution to Ukraine's defense. $50 million of contribution to the prioritized Ukraine's requirement list will be used to procure ammunition that we so badly need for our air defense systems, as well as other kinds of ammunition, which is currently available only in the United States of America. We have our European partners who are raising funds, and I was very pleased to see this contribution from Australian and New Zealand governments, and that you are the first two countries outside of NATO who make this contribution. And of course, the contribution to a drone coalition and the materiel and military kit for demining engineering works, but also some other ammunition which will be of huge use in Ukraine.
What do you think about Australia's stepping up of sanctions on an additional 45 vessels, which are believed to be part of this shadow Russian fleet? Do you think they'll be effective?
It's very important to be part of the coalition, and we are grateful for Australia being a consistent member of the coalition of countries imposing sanctions on Russia. Certainly, oil and gas are the two commodities which help Russia fund this war. 40% of revenue in Russia comes from the sale of these two commodities. And of course, if we can limit their ability to sell, that will starve their economy. And that's important to stay together, imposing those sanctions, limiting the ability of Russia to sell and sell oil and dodge different sanctions. And the support, this whole package of support, is a true act of mateship, which Australia is demonstrating. It's about security, it's about democracy, it's about sovereignty. I mean, there is so much at play at the moment, and we see that connection between regional security in Australia and the security of Europe at the moment, and how a sacred notion of sovereignty, which is so important for any country, has been blatantly violated by a nuclear power state, which is a permanent member of the UN Security Council. And we must make sure that Russia fails in Ukraine in order not to create any precedents or any blueprints for other authoritarian leaders to follow the same route.
The Australian government is still considering whether to send its fleet of retiring Tiger helicopters to Ukraine. What sort of difference could those helicopters make in the war against Russia?
It's up to the Australian government to decide if they can potentially donate this equipment once it's decommissioned or becomes a surplus to the Australian defence. Certainly, we value any support coming from Australia. And should helicopters be granted, they will be used for special operations in Ukraine, but also they will be used for medical evacuations. As you know, the biggest problem we are facing is how quickly you can get the wounded soldiers out from the front lines and deliver them to hospitals to provide that assistance. And General Sally, you know, speaking about that support for Ukraine, I see a clear connection how we can work together mutually and for the mutual benefit, because in a way, in return for protecting democracy, we can also create new economic opportunities for many Australian companies, especially post-war in the area of Ukraine's recovery and reconstruction. A lot of your infrastructure development companies, mining companies, financial industry can benefit greatly from helping Ukraine rebuild in the future. And I think the leadership of the Australian government today is so important in this respect, because we will be able to create a foundation for other businesses to work in the future.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest is Ukraine's ambassador to Australia, Vasyl Moroshnichenko. The Trump administration is continuing its efforts to broker a peace deal between Russia and Ukraine. What do you make of the way those negotiations are unfolding so far?
From what we hear from the latest, the trip to Moscow did not go well. Its negotiations are still continuing, and we certainly welcome contribution from President Donald Trump to achieving peace. It's important that America stays on board. We work closely together with the Europeans and jointly with Australians and New Zealanders, and we must stick together because that's the only way how we can demonstrate strength. That's the only way how we can put pressure on Russia to make them negotiate in good faith. Because so far, they have been pretending to be negotiating while demanding Ukraine surrender. So Russia is not interested in having peace. Russia is interested in having Ukraine, and they are not stopping. They continue attacking Ukraine, destroying Ukraine. I mean, they are just on the go at the moment, relentlessly shelling our city's critical infrastructure, sending missiles and drones. That's happening. And the only way how we can stop them is we can exert more pressure, isolate Russia further, take away their sovereign assets, impose more sanctions, and provide more support, military support for Ukraine. Because when we demonstrate the strengths, this is what's going to coerce Russia into serious negotiations. For now, they are demanding a surrender. But of course, we welcome negotiations. We are part of those negotiations. As you know, Ukraine has accepted an offer from the U.S. president initially earlier this year for an unconditional ceasefire. Russia has refused to have a ceasefire and continue the talks. They continue the talks, but often they're just pretending to be negotiating.
Ambassador, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me.